Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Hi, friends. I'm Megan, and this is the podcast where I call up pals and we talk about music, songs, the industry, touring, snacks, anything, everything in between. Ellen Fraze, she is... She's got to be one of my favorite people. Ellen is wonderful. She's an extremely talented musician. And she's like, you know what, when you just run into a friend at random and you're just so excited to see that person? Ellen is one of those people for me. I'm just always so excited to cross paths with her. And I'm really lucky that I have a podcast, so I have an excuse to call her, you know? Anyways, we talk about songwriting, we talk about traveling, we talk about flying, and it's a lot of fun. Today's guest is Ellen Fraze. Ellen, I feel so blessed that you are taking time out of your very busy schedule to chat with me.
Thank you. Same to you, Megan.
I knew we were going to start this on a very, you know, eloquent yet awkward note. I just had that feeling, you know?
Yeah, I kind of had that feeling too.
It feels like just yesterday we were backstage at Belle Plaine Symphony Show, a very beautiful, professional, top quality show, and we were interpretive dancing backstage waiting to go on, enjoying it. We were feeling the music. Do you remember that?
We were definitely feeling the music, and then we did some little moves on stage too without asking anybody if it would be okay.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. we did some, we like practiced backstage, and then we did some synchronized moves.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I wonder what they thought.
I'm like impressed at our past selves. I'm like, we did something cool. I bet we looked like really organized and professional and together though, actually, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than likely.
I feel like I need to touch base with Mel and just be like, was that cool? Mel, Belle Plaine, just to give the... I'm sure the listeners to this podcast know that Belle Plaine is Mel. But I just want to... I should just... You know, I've been meaning to call her anyways. And I could say, hey, you remember that time in February 2020 when there was so many people up on one stage singing your songs, playing your music? How was our dancing? You know, just...
Yeah, importantly.
Yeah.
How was it?
I actually have thought about that show a lot because, you know, there were how many people up on stage? Because you had Belle Plaine, her regular band, a few extra folks like us. Then a symphony, you know, that was a lot of people. I never would have looked at that and thought, oh, health hazard, you know?
Yeah, no, that was so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there were probably potential health hazards anyway.
Like,
you never know.
The fact that we didn't stretch before dancing.
Yeah. Like anything could have gone wrong, but nothing did.
Yeah, no, that's true. So last time I saw you in real life with my own eyes was at Ness Creek this summer. Briefly.
Yeah, we glimpsed each other.
Yeah.
Briefly.
So before that, it was the Belle Plaine show, which a huge show. And then I saw you in the summer of 2021 where we were kind of dipping our toes back into the live music situation. What's that experience been like for you, getting to play shows again in this new, I don't know, phase of the pandemic we find ourselves in?
I am rusty, dude. Very rusty. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's not like nerves, but it's just like I'm really self-aware now. Which is maybe a good thing. I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't know. It's weird.
No, I think it makes sense. I feel like my banter is definitely like, I don't know. I think it's just like that feeling of when you have, you know, something inside of you kind of just like breaks, like you go through something heartbreaking and then you just kind of like you, it's not like you don't care anymore, but like, you don't care in the same way. Like, I care about other people now more than ever before in my life. Like, I feel like that caretaker part of me is like coming out more than ever now. Like, but
right.
I am not afraid to be myself on stage with my banter. And like, if I'm feeling something, I'm probably just gonna say it, you know, tell it like it is. No, just kidding.
But tell it like it is.
Tell it like it is. No, but I'm just not afraid to go there anymore, you know?
Nice. Yeah. I kind of feel like maybe that's come out in me a little bit more as well. Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely a totally different person from like 2 years ago performing wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. My banter is really inconsistent sometimes. Like, I kind of wish I like knew beforehand what was going to happen when I like started speaking.
Yeah.
Because often I can kill like half a set with just talking. but then often I'll have nothing, so it's like I always have to plan more songs than I want to play.
I was just gonna ask you, how do you account for that with your sets? But because I've had the same similar experience, and sometimes I've just been like, I don't have enough songs. Like, if I'm really bombing with my banter, oh, I hate that. I haven't had that happen for a long time, but like that one time at the small town festival when I was like 18, I'll never forget how awful I felt up on that stage, being like, no one finds this funny, and I do not have enough songs to actually fill an hour. I'm just used to talking.
Yeah. Oh. That sucks. Yeah, I don't know. I guess most of my shows since, well, recently have been more like corporate or like private gigs where you never know going into those, like if you're going to be talking much. And usually I just don't.
Yeah.
So I just play like country covers.
Nice. Nice. Where are you? Where in the world is Ellen right now? Where are you?
I'm like close to Birch Hills in an Airbnb.
Oh.
I just got here like an hour ago, but, I've been doing the artist's way and it told me to go on a vacation.
Oh no, I forgot to do the artist's way. I wanted to do that with you and I forgot.
Yeah, I've been really doing quite badly at it.
Well, better than me.
So I guess so. Well, it's all relative, isn't it? You found your artist's way already, maybe.
Well, actually, I've been doing a program called True Nature Writing, and that's every Wednesday morning. I write for an hour and a half with a few other folks, and it's the facilitator, Joyce Belcher. She's great, and what she does with her process, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's like a lot of poetry prompts. It's really nice. It's really cool. I love it. And actually today I did that earlier today, and it's something I look forward to every week. And it's a little bit of an anchor in reality, like something that I have to be at a certain time with other people, where so much of my work right now is just scheduled by me and I have to hold myself accountable. And yeah, that is just difficult. I'm hitting a bit of a wall with that. It's been like how many months now of doing the majority of that work from home? So I should take a page out of your book and go somewhere.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I too have been hitting a bit of a wall.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your daily schedule. Can you give me like a rundown of like your work day?
Okay, so let's think of like a typical day that doesn't have a show. Because honestly, I'm a little bit confused with how I used to do everything beforehand. Like, how was I playing so many shows and replying to all these emails and thinking about, like, different, you know, marketing things or different collaborations or different, you know, and how was I writing songs during that? And how was I, like, rehearsing during that? And how was I, like, arranging during that? And how was I, like, there's all these things that I'm like, yeah. How was I doing that all the time? But right now, though, a normal day looks like waking up at, like, I don't know, 7:38.
Wow.
Making the coffee, because I have a partner who goes to bed kind of early, and I've lived vicariously through his schedule during the pandemic. That's the reason why this is, like, kind of developed, like, kind of earlier. Also, I have a little pup who, like, when he has to go outside, he's going outside, you know what I, like, I have to. That's another thing that's been really grounding during the pandemic, though, too, and even just in my life beforehand, was, like, having a little critter to look after.
Aww.
It's because I can have bad habits, you know, like, kind of, and what I mean by that is kind of just, like, you know, reckless, like, stay up really late, doing nothing, like, fun, just being, you know, I don't know, not always having, and, like, forgetting to eat. And, like, so when you have to feed a little animal, you kind of, when you know, when you see your little animal drinking water, you're like, I should drink water too. Oh yeah, I should also eat, you know? Like, they're grounding. So yeah, I don't know. Wake up around 7:38, feed the pup, make some coffee, take the pup for a walk, and then settle in. And I like to read the news, and I usually just get, like, I get a few newsletters to my phone, and then I watch the CBC National on YouTube every morning.
Really?
Because it's posted. Ugh. Like, I don't watch it when it's live the evening before. I don't like to watch the news in the evening. I'd rather watch the news in the morning. Okay. So it's, like, you know, 12 hours old or whatever. But and then do my emails by noon, have some lunch. I try not to work now past 4. So whether in that evening afternoon, then if I'm doing more admin work or taking some meetings, or if I'm hopefully writing songs, but I'm not really in the songwriting process right now. I'm just not in that phase yet. But then by 4, I'm trying that. Then I try to do something movement related. So exercising, or lately I've been really trying to do the sunset, my sunset walks. I try to walk when the sun's going to be setting. Lately, ooh, it's been like 6:30. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I'm so fortunate to live where I live and to be able to see the sky as much as I can. Like, that's all that's around me pretty much, you know? So yeah. But I don't
know. You have a big beetle on the wall behind you.
Oh no.
Where? Sorry, I couldn't help it. Yeah, what is that?
Oh, that's a maple bug. They're everywhere. Okay,
yeah,
they're everywhere right now, and I've been I was vacuuming them up earlier, and, like, they don't even die in there, you know? Like, you've really gotta
they probably just like it in there.
Oh, they love it. Well, it's cold outside, so they're trying to be in here. Yeah, this is funny.
Sorry,
it was totally appropriate. I'm like, I'm so lucky to live where I live, the sky. Like, I'm out in the country, and then it's like, there's bugs everywhere.
Like, you have a bug problem.
But I do have a bug problem. Yeah, sorry. I feel like I rambled on really boring stuff. I'm sorry. That's just what my day looks like right now. But
that's really interesting.
I don't know. And then every Wednesday, I do this writing group from 9:30 to 11, and I just love it. If you ever want to try it, let me know, because it's open. It's open to more folks, and she actually is doing two not trial sessions, but two just kind of one-off sessions for folks that just want to try it out next week. So I could send you that info, Ellen, if you're interested. I know you're doing the artist way right now, but it might be kind of a fun prompt. I don't know.
What do you do? Like, what is it? You just get together and, like, write with some folks?
Yeah. So you, like, it's all over Zoom right now, which is really awesome, because that's, like, one thing that's been really nice is I can join so many folks from different parts just from, like, the middle of nowhere, right? So that's really cool. But yeah, Joyce does some like grounding practices right off the top, something kind of meditative. And then to not give away too much of the process, she then does poetry prompts. So and then you write for a set amount of time, and then you share with everyone, and you don't give any feedback. It's really cool.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. I love that.
Yeah, and it's called true nature writing. So so sometimes there's a bit of a, like, with regards to the poetry, there can be a bit of a focus on nature. Like, most of the folks that are that I know through that are pretty, I don't know, they love nature. I love nature. So it's kind of, it's just fun. It's cool. I don't know.
I hate nature.
No, you don't.
Could you imagine? I hate it. No, nature is great.
I guess really, like, yeah. Do folks hate it? Like,
well, everyone can, like, I'm admiring nature from a distance at the moment. I'm like looking out into this fall valley.
Oh.
But do I love hiking or camping? No.
Right. Okay, I love hiking. I don't love camping. I want to be in like an Airbnb like you're in right now. Looks nice. And then I want to go for a hike, and then I want to be able to have a shower, you know, and then sleep through the night. I don't like camping.
I detest sleeping in filth. I just don't like it. I don't like being that, oh, this is so spoiled of me, but oof. I just want to feel good going to sleep.
Yeah. You know what? I hate going to sleep when you're the inside of your armpits are sticky.
Oof.
Do you know?
What a horrible feeling. Yeah, dude. I think I had that last night though, in my own bed.
I don't like that. Ooh. I don't like that feeling. No, that was one thing on tour. It's like when you didn't know when your next shower was going to be, and just like it started to get to be like those days of like, uh-oh, this is like, you know, I don't know, whatever, like dry shampoo or hat territory, wherever you're at with that stuff. But it's like, what do you do with those sticky elbow bends? Ugh, the sticky bends. I don't like that.
Yeah. That like would take up a lot of my mental space, is just like thinking about my life. Like need for a shower. I remember this now.
Yeah. You remember touring, and then you would feel gross, but then you'd go up on stage and have people looking at you while you feel gross. Remember those days?
Yes. There's one like live video of me playing, and I am so greasy. Like it's just, it's like, wow. Like, and you kind of have to put that aside in your head. You just have to be like, okay, just going to sing my little heart out. It was really intense. The grease.
Yeah. I feel like there is a part of, like, I don't know. I can't worry about what I look like when I'm up on stage, you know? Like, you just kind of got to put that aside. You kind of just got to go, it is what it is, you know? Like, I'm not going to think about what my face is doing too much right now. You know, or my posture. Yeah. Some may argue you should think about your posture when you're singing. My sister would definitely say that, but not me. And I just can't think about that stuff too much. But do you have any pre-show rituals?
Drink a couple of beers.
Oh, really?
Trying to cut back on that, but I have no, like, I've been thinking about that too this year. It's like, I don't have any rituals. I don't do any warm-ups. I don't know vocal technique. And every show feels like a gamble sometimes. I don't know. That'd probably be nice. What's yours?
Well, I my reaction to you drinking beer before wasn't this like, no no beer before a show. It was more like a, wow, you can sing the way you do with beer. Like, I find like sometimes alcohol just like messes with my voice and makes me want to burp. And also, I have just a very, like, I have a very low alcohol tolerance now, and I am a weird person. some may say. And I want that to be clear. I want it to be very clear when I'm up on that stage that that weird is like 100% me and it's not substance. I actually, I've had a few times where I've had like an audience member, like I can hear a little like someone talking to the table about how they think I'm like on drugs. And I hate that. I hate it when people, yeah. And I've heard that like even recently really? When I was, cause I made I said something on stage about being like I was kind of self-deprecating, being like, ah, and now it's like 100% sober or something. And like someone to their table was like, oh yeah, right. I'm like, no, I am. I'm just, why do people think you have to be on substances to be weird? You know, I'm just weird naturally.
That is a good question. Wow, that really sucks that person said that.
Yeah. And it's also like their attempt to try to be funny to their group. And it's like at my expense. And I'm always like, make your own jokes, you know?
Yeah. And also, how did their voice carry so far?
Well, but that's the thing though. Like, have you ever, like, because of the way the sound system is set up, people will like think that you can't hear them, but like, you're not the one getting blasted with the front of the house, right? Like they are. And so I just feel like I can hear people more than they think I can because they are speaking louder because they're on the other side of that speaker, if that makes sense. I don't know. There's probably an audio person listening being like, that's not how that works. But I feel like that's how it works.
Yeah, they probably think that. Well, that's funny. I've never had that before. I've never heard like somebody say something in the crowd unless it was like directly at me. Like, hey, well, like heckling.
Maybe your audience is just, maybe they just really love you and they're respectful. They're just, you know, letting you share your art in peace.
They just do it quietly. They gossip about me quietly.
They pass notes.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm just kidding. I saw you play in I saw you play in Lethbridge. Remember that show?
Yeah, that was fun.
That was really nice. I don't remember Geomatic Attic. That was in December of 2019.
Yeah, and you gave me a crystal to give to Casey.
Yeah, I used to give away a lot of crystals. Yeah.
I used to give away a lot of crystals, man.
I did. I really did. I really went through like a really intense crystal phase in my mid-20s. And I'm on the other side of that now, actually. So it's been interesting to reflect on that. Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I've never had a crystal phase.
No, you never have. Yeah, it's a... I think if you can get some, you know, ethically mined crystals, which that's a whole conversation. And if you want to meditate with that crystal and put some intention in there and have it be a visual reminder of that, I think that's fine. But I went a little too far with it. I'm kind of feeling like I'm on the other side of a lot of this stuff. Like I took everything, you know, in true Scorpio fashion, went a little bit too extreme with some stuff. And now I'm dialing it back and I'm like, okay, this is a healthier way to use this, you know, like astrology. Okay. I went really far with astrology and now I'm dialing it back a bit. I'm like, okay, this is a healthier way for me to use this.
Right.
So yeah, I'm a recovering, I don't know what I'm gonna, I don't want to label myself. I'm not going to finish that sentence because I don't want to offend anybody, but like, I don't know, maybe a listener can relate. I've just taken that stuff too far and it can be kind of, damaging, and it's just also a lot of money, you know?
Yeah. I had a big astrology phase too.
Yeah. And,
but yeah.
No, go on, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's cool and it's fun. But that's about it. I'm a Pisces.
Yeah.
Aries moon. And are we compatible?
Well, I just know a lot of people who have an Aries moon.
Okay, cool. Aries moon. I'm not a crier, and that's a big Pisces trait.
Yeah. And that's not
I don't cry at all.
Huh. I wonder if it's that Aries energy of your moon kind of just, I don't know.
What's the deal? I want to just have a huge cry session. It doesn't happen. I can't do it.
Can you make yourself cry, like acting?
It may be happening now.
If you cry on this podcast, could you imagine?
Tell me a sad story. We'll see. We'll get it. We'll capture it live.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if my stories are sad because, like, they might be sad to me because that was my experience. I don't know, like, if me like just trauma dumping is gonna make you cry or not, you know. And I don't know how it's going to make you feel. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? On that sad note, we need to take a break. And we'll be right back.
Time for a break.
Do you want to do a nice outro?
What would I say?
Something like, you've been listening to Pep and Ched, and we're going to take a break. I don't know.
You do it. No, I'm scared.
I actually don't even really do one normally. I just thought we could do something for a special occasion, but that's okay. We'll just take a break. Aww. Bye. Hey, friend. You're listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash. Today's guest is Ellen Fraze. Hi there. You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash. Now more of my conversation with Ellen Fraze. And we're back. Ellen, how are you feeling?
Yeah. Wow. Welcome back.
So right now you're in the middle of writing your new record. I want to know what your songwriting process looks like.
I'm trying to refine that right now. We're talking about our daily schedules earlier, and I try to write every morning now. So I like, the artist's way thing, which I'm attempting, it's pretty cool. I don't want to like, you know, treat it like, I don't know, it holds all the wisdom in the world, but it is like a nice like format to follow. And a big part of it is like journaling 3 pages every morning. So I've been doing that, which is good. Just train of thought, no judgment. And then I'll go for a walk and take my notebook and like write 2 more pages with a little more intention. And then I'll come home and I'll like pick the lines from those 2 pages that stand out the most. And then I'll just like strum my guitar or whatever. And then try to form like a verse or a song, like try to do a little bit of writing each day. And sometimes it's just a little piece. And then I can connect that to another like voice memo I have on my phone. So it's like, I don't know. I just try to create a little bit of something each day. And then sometimes there's songs that I've like written parts to that have been stuck in my head on and off for the past like 3 years or something. And then it's like, okay, Ellen, you either have to like ditch that or like finish it. Cause like, do you have baggage songs, like songs that like ideas that have just been in your head for so long?
100%. Like,
just like, I need to get rid of this. Like, I need to make way for new songs.
I definitely do. And I feel like, you know, my process used to be like, I would sit down and like write a song in an afternoon or something, or I'd like work on it for 3 or 4 days and, or for a week and, oh, ta-da, song's done. But now like the older I get and the longer I write songs, the more I realize like some of these songs are, they take years now. And I never understood that before. But now for me, it's like, oh no, that definitely, there's like these songs that take years, whether it's something that I like to do. It's like, especially if I'm like really needing a second verse, because I find those are the hardest things to come up with sometimes. Ooh. Those darn second verses, is like going through my old journals and just like, and picking out those pieces. So when you think about that, like you're kind of, you know, sounds cheesy, but you're like co-writing with your past self, you know?
Ooh, and like, yeah,
but that's really like, you know, an old you years ago. So these songs are in that sense taking years.
Yeah, I really feel like journaling, like without judgment, like does really work. And then you can go back and you're like, I have all these notebooks just full of stuff that I can pull from, yeah, which is pretty cool. And like, yeah, song taking years. It's not like for me, it's just like 5 years of every day working on it. It's like, I'll start it one day and then in like 2 years, I'll think about it again. Yeah. And like, add another little bit. I don't know. I'm not like a consistent songwriter. I'm trying to be though.
It's hard. It's hard when you wear so many hats too. Like when you know, like I have found myself having to give myself more grace. Like I used to, you know, when you think about like the 2 year album cycle and like that way of like thinking, it's like by the time you write it and arrange it and record it and release it, it's like, I should, you know, already, like, by next summer have, like, 12 songs written already. And that's just, I don't know if that's in the cards because of all the other hats I'm wearing, right? Like, I don't know. So I just like to give myself a bit more patience. Like, my last album came out in 2017 and I'm releasing another one this year. That's 4 years, you know?
2 years is so unrealistic.
Yeah. I think so. Like when you're wearing as many hats, like, you know, when you're co-producing or producing or, you know, I don't know. It's just all a lot. And it's like, at the end of the day, I just want to put out good work. I just want to put out songs that I'm happy with, right? I don't want it to be, you know, stuff I'm not happy with when I'm older, reflecting on my time on Earth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if your only job was just songwriting, then it would be like feasible to.
Yeah.
And if you just had people like at your beck and call ready to like hit record and like make a.
Yeah.
Record for you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to rush songwriting, you know? Don't want to rush it.
Yeah, like you want to be disciplined with it, like have some kind of structure, but you don't want to rush it. I totally feel you and relate. And that's what I like about this True Nature writing process too that I've been doing is it's just writing. It's not songwriting. It's like, you know, it's so it's just that journaling part, but a bit more structured. And so when I'm ready to write the new record, I've got all these pages to like go through, you know. I don't know. Yeah. I've always wanted to write a book of poetry too. Are you like, do you feel like, is that where are you coming at your lyrics from? Like, are you coming at it from like, do you feel like you're sitting down to write poetry? Do you feel like it's very much like lyrics? Would you ever present your lyrics as poetry? Putting you on the spot.
That for some reason seems way scarier.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know poetry really. Mm. I don't really like reading poetry.
You don't like nature and you don't like poetry.
Oh boy. Yeah, well, I want a good teen novel to read.
Oh yeah.
About like fairies and warlocks.
Yeah. Are you in the middle of a good novel these days?
I am. I'm reading one called A Theater for Dreamers, and it's about Leonard Cohen, but it's like fictional. His time in like Greece. So it's not really about him. He's like a peripheral character. My dad gave me the book.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So like I like reading good stories, but I don't know. I sometimes feel like I'm not like poetry, like, if I don't get the deeper meaning or whatever instantly, I'm just like, oh, I'm too dumb for this. Like, I don't actually, you know, think I'm too dumb for it, but it just like, I feel like I get stressed out.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a relatable thing.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. Yeah. Because, like, it's not, to be honest with you, it's not relatable to me as someone who likes reading poetry. But I guess I could see it being, like, if the poetry is, like, I don't know, like, really... I don't know. This thought's not fully formed, so I'm gonna go back. But it could be relatable to a listener, and I think that's nice that you were vulnerable about your take on poetry.
Thank you, Megan. Yeah, I started speaking without my thoughts being fully formed either. But I'm
you're on the right podcast for that, bud. Oh, that's my brand. That's my brand.
Nice. Wow, that's so funny. It's good to just be honest. I don't really like poetry.
And that's okay. It is okay.
And that's, I want to. Yeah.
I actually really, a part of why I got into poetry and like, I'm trying to be a bit like, better about it. Like I was trying to listen to like a poem a day, like those podcasts, like trying to just, I don't know. Cause I do find nice. That like they spark, I find poetry to be very inspiring for lyric writing. And I've always dreamt Ooh. Of having like a book of poetry and lyrics down the road. Like,
I don't That'd know. Be so nice.
Yeah. I have the, my partner for my birthday last year bought me the Florence and the Machine, one. Cause I really like, oh, really? Yeah. Florence and the Machine. I don't know. I really, have enjoyed her music throughout my life. More records more than others. Some records more than others, I should say. But mm-hmm. but somebody I really love Leonard Cohen's poetry. And mm-hmm. I really love Patti Smith and I love her books. And I've actually like, I don't know, this is like weird, but you know when you get a craving for a book, you're like, I want to read a book that's good, like I want like when you get a craving for an author's voice. Like, I really have a yeah. craving for, like, Patti Smith's voice right now. So I ordered her new book from, I was like, it's hard to find, like, independent bookstores in Canada that offer, like, decent shipping. Like, but I found this one store and they put on they partnered with Amnesty International and presented a talk, the other day, and I thought that was really cool. So I bought a few books from them. So I have this like shipment of like 4 books coming in the mail, and I'm like nice. So excited. I don't really leave my house still, you know, so there's no bookstores within an hour of where I'm at. So I thought, well, whatever, I'll splurge. But I'm just like really looking forward to just like spending time with Patti Smith's words.
Oh yeah, I read Just Kids, and I have like her book of poetry also.
I should buy her book of poetry,
or maybe it's just like song lyrics, but I didn't finish it.
Oh,
but I really loved Just Kids. I read that very quickly.
Yeah, I've actually never read Just Kids. I was reading the M Train. I got it from an airport bookstore, so it would have been in like 2018 or 2019 when I got that then. Back in the days when I used to be in airports, you know?
Oof. Oh, airports. I don't think I've ever gone into an airport situation expecting something good to happen.
Oh, dear.
I mean, airports.
Like, do you want to expand on that? Like, what do you mean? Like, you feel like it's going to be like an uncomfortable situation because it's like, because flying is just kind of terrible in general.
Yeah. And everything, like, there's so many things that could go wrong just in the airport itself. I feel like you walk in there and the air is just dense.
Yeah.
With fear.
Oh, no.
And I start turning into the worst version of myself in the airports. Like the second I step through the door. Yeah. Airports.
You just seem like such a kind person. I can't imagine there being a terrible side of you. I've got you up on a pedestal. I just realized.
Ellen is, amazing.
Ellen can do no wrong.
No, I really like avoid conflict. But there was one time in an airport where like, oh, I had just arrived to Germany, I think. And my like, you know, like, okay, you get on an airplane and then you usually have to like check your guitar sort of at the front of the door into the airplane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that always kind of scares me a bit. Well, I was waiting at the end of the flight and you're supposed to wait by the door, like in the tunnel to like, for someone to bring up the guitar.
Right.
And like everybody had gotten off the plane and I was still standing there waiting for it. So I was like, oh, what do I do? So they were like, yeah, just go. It'll probably be waiting like by the counter once you get out of this tunnel or whatever. And I got out of there and like nobody was there and my guitar wasn't there. So I was like really like tired and I was starting to get like panic attack feelings. And I was just sort of like, where's my guitar? Where's my guitar? And this person like at the desk was like, you can't go back there. You have to stay here and there's nothing I can do. You can't go back. And I just felt like my guitar was lost forever. So I kind of got a little mad at her. I was like, no, they told me it would be there. And I think I started like tearing up. Like, I just want my guitar.
So you have cried.
I have cried. That was just like a weird stress cry. That's never happened to me before. That's the only time I've like stress cried. I don't know. Maybe my crying just like manifests in a, not in sadness, but in like anger.
Hey, that's fair. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah. Also, like, you want to be able to do your job. You need your instrument. Guitars are like, there's like sentimental value and also just like monetary value. Like, it's it's totally normal to be like stressed out about like them not having your guitar. Yeah, it's that. And airline companies are just like, you know, infamous for being awful with instruments.
Yeah, it was really scary because like, of course, I've heard all the like terrible stories of like people's guitars getting like cracked or broken or like lost. And I thought it was finally my time, but a lovely German helper person like took me around. I felt like we were just zipping around the whole airport and he was like leading me around. We finally got my guitar just in time for me to catch the next flight. Oh. So it was like, it was a close call. They really kind of lost it for a bit there.
Oh, that's so stressful. And I feel like when you're doing all the walking around the airport, you're carrying heavy stuff, or in your case, not carrying all the stuff you want to be carrying, but like you're stressed out and you just get so sweaty. Like, I always get so sweaty in airports.
Yeah, yeah, same. Yeah, I was going to mention that before when you're like, what's your thing with airports? It's like, as soon as I get in there, I just like, stressed and I start sweating.
Yeah.
And I hate flying too. Like, it's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Airplanes.
When do you think you'll go on one again?
Well, I want to go to Australia next year if I can.
Ooh.
So that's going to be really putting some fear aside for like the longest flight of my life.
Yeah. That's like, I wasn't really expecting like such a far location after hearing your, you know, feelings about airplanes.
Yeah, can't let it stop me.
No, you gotta go. I looked into, I wanted to see what it would be like to take a ship over to to the UK and I can't remember exactly where it would go, but it was really expensive. It was
like a cargo ship.
Yeah, like they usually, I guess this, I don't know, this is like also me like going through my memory of like what I was Googling like 4 years ago, so don't take this as a facts or true or even, but it was like pretty expensive, but I thought it would be cool and then I wouldn't have to fly, but it just would have been too long.
Yeah, I looked into that too. because as someone who's scared of flying, you want to find alternatives. I feel like that would be a good option if you were like trying to move to the UK or something.
Yeah.
You can bring a bunch of your like stuff, put it on the cargo ship. Then it's just basically like you and the crew of the ship hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought it'd be a little something different. I honestly, like, I would not really want to fly with an animal. That's something I've thought about a lot. Like, when you're getting your, like, the way I feel about my guitar, like, can you imagine if you have to leave a little critter underneath there, that plane? Like, I don't understand it. And, like I don't know. It'd be really, that would be really hard, I think.
Nightmare. A friend of mine moved her two cats to Europe with her. And they were both like on the plane with her, like not in the bottom of the plane. But there was one point where, like, I don't know, she had to take them into the plane bathroom with her. And they just were like out of the carrying case. They're just like climbing all over the bathroom with these cats. Like, what a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, too much, too much. I still have like probably 8 packs of those little airplane cookies they give you at the, just in my cupboard. Ooh. And I just look at them every now and then because I actually really miss traveling. I really miss it. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Aw, those little biscottis.
You don't, you took them with you?
Yeah. I've always been a big like stick of gum in the pocket for later kind of guy, and like with those cookies I never want them at the time. Rarely do I want them at the time, so I put them in my pocket, get home, and it's like, oh yeah, these, and then I put them in my cupboard. These are getting old. These are, at this point, it's fair to say that they are stale, but who knows, and I might eat them.
Yeah, I mean, you're like well, I don't know. I'm just thinking about a lot of stuff involving this. Like, when you put them in your pocket, they'd get all crumbly.
Well, I put them in my my carry-on pocket, you know. Or, like, I like to wear a lot of jean jackets that have, like, really good, like, you know, like, breast pockets or whatever they're called, you know.
What does Megan Nash have in her pocket?
Yeah,
it's airplane. Biscottis from airline biscottis.
Mm-hmm. 100% it is. Yeah. And like old stale pieces of gum that I'll chew one day. I'll get around to chewing those one day.
Oh no.
But yeah, I don't know. When you're flying, what's your go-to snack? Okay, here's the thing. Let's pretend we're on an airplane.
Okay.
Everyone's like, this is not going to go well. This is not going to. Okay. Okay, so Ellen, would you like something to drink?
Yes, please.
What would you like to drink?
Thank you for asking. I will have a cranberry juice, please.
Oh, a cranberry juice. Okay, actually, we're all out of cranberry juice. What's your second option?
I'll have a tea.
Oh, okay. Is Earl Grey fine?
Yeah.
Okay, just clear?
Clear is good, yeah.
Okay. And I guess I should ask cream or sugar. That's what they ask, right?
Clear.
Empty? Just empty tea?
No water, even. just the tea bag. I'll just, like, with a little pair of scissors, I'll just pour the little flakes in my mouth.
I actually had a tooth removed and they told me to like suck on a tea bag. So I actually did just have to suck on a tea bag to stop the bleeding of my tooth. But anyways, I'm sorry. Would you like something to eat? Salt or sweet?
If it's possible, I would like both.
Okay.
What do they have normally? Like, or what do you have? Peanuts or biscuits?
Yeah, they're usually like the little cookies or they're... Are they peanuts or are they pretzels? I feel like they've turned pretzels. To pretzels. Yeah.
What do they say always? Like, cookies or pretzels?
Yeah.
Or like, what is it? It's like the same script.
Oh, okay. I've messed up. This was my job to know what they say, and I've messed up. I think it's, would you like something to drink? And then you'd say cranberry, and I for some reason said no, we're out of that. And then you said tea, and then I should ask sugar or cream, and then you'd say no, but instead I said clear, and then you now proceeded to just eat the tea leaves. But and then after that I say cookies or pretzels. You're right.
Well, it depends.
Or do they see salt, like, or sweet? I've heard that. I feel like I've heard that before too.
Salty or sweet? That's vague. But I don't know if I've heard that.
Okay.
Salty or sweet? They're like asking you what kind of like attitude you would like from them.
Oh no.
Wow.
Okay. So when you're not on an airplane, what kind of snacks do you like when you're touring?
I'm touring.
Are you sewing something right now?
I've been taking up cross stitching in my...
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so sorry, this doesn't work very well for like a audio medium, but Ellen just held up a very cool cat cross stitch. Because we are talking on Zoom, full disclosure for the listener, yeah. We're talking on Zoom, and just while I was asking you what your favorite snack is, you picked up a needle and thread into the camera, and I was like, oh, you're sewing. You're stitching. Well, you're cross-stitching.
I haven't been doing it, but I just am, I've been fiddling around with these hair clips, like, a lot, and then I put them aside, and I needed to pick up the next item, which was this sewing needle. This has been a bit of a COVID... hobby, which has been so fun.
It looks great.
I have a hard time finding hobbies that I truly enjoy. Like, I often, like, you know, buy all the craft supplies I need to, like, do like rug hooking, or like spend a lot of money on craft supplies, but like cross stitch, oh yeah.
Oh, it looks really cool.
Thank you.
So, sorry, what would you like to eat you're touring? And then we have to, believe it or not, we're at time. I know.
We're at time.
Yeah, it goes by so fast when you're pretending you're on an airplane.
Yeah. This is great.
Flies.
No.
I'm sorry.
What I would choose to be eating on tour is different from what is available often. I like anything. I just don't like goat cheese. Okay. But I will eat whatever can be found at the gas stations, the fast food restaurants.
It's all good.
And if someone, it's all good. I mean, a nice like caprese salad would always be a treat.
Oh, yeah.
Can't always find that at the local Shell.
Ain't that the truth? Ellen, do you have anything else you'd like to tell our dear listeners?
Be yourself.
Pal, it's been so nice to get to chat with you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Megan. What a treat.
Too much fun, my friends. Ellen, you're the best. Please go support Ellen at ellenfraze.com. She's the best. What can I say, folks? You've been listening to Pep and Chat with Megan Nash, a co-production with Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. And this podcast is made possible because of their ongoing support. Special thank you to the Garys for the use of their song Burger Boy as the theme music. The Creative City Center is a community-based arts center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they're cooking up. Besides all this, Pep and Chet with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.